phone calls.
From WAMU 88.5 at American University in Washington, welcome to the Kojo Namdi Show. It's Tech Tuesday. They're some of the most powerful technological and creative tools ever conceived. The digital camera, the desktop computer, and the printer. You probably already own all of the above. But most of us never unleash our inner artist. We don't direct our own multimedia masterpieces or create digitized slideshows for all those old yellowing pictures of grandma and grandkids. And we'd never think to design our own screensaver using Microsoft Word or create a new type font using our own handwriting. When Kit Laybourne looks at those same tools, he sees a world of cool do-it-yourself art projects, opportunities to unleash your inner Ken Burns and Andy Warhol and create gifts that won't break the bank. He joins us in the studio. Kit Laybourne is an animator, producer, and author of Mediapedia, Creative Tools and Techniques for Camera, Computer, and Beyond. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It happens every time I buy a new computer or a fancy new phone or camera. I get all excited about the cool things these machines can do, digital filmmaking, slideshows, desktop publishing, and then it ends up sitting on my desk, abandoned. Once the initial excitement of discovery wears off, which brings us to, you started this Mediapedia project to examine and celebrate personal media, and you say you wanted to make a why-to book. Not a how-to book. Please explain.
Well, this when you first look at Mediapedia, it's going to look like it's a technical tome. It's a lexicon filled with over 300 terms. They're all digital design terms. But when you get a little closer into it, you find out it's really a book about creativity. It's designed for people who have cameras and computers and are beginning to use them together to make stuff. And I'm just a cheerleader. I'm pouring gas on the fire, trying to encourage people to take their game to the next level.
Well, let's see if some of the people you're cheering on have already been doing this. Are you creating your own do-it-yourself gifts this holiday season? You can call us at 800-433-8850. Also, if you have any creative uses for digital imagery, the number is 800-433-8850. What we're going to do is compile a list of the do-it-yourself projects from your suggestions and from Kit Laybourne's new book that you can check out at kojoshow.org. So share your tips and tricks at 800-433-8850 or send us an email to kojo, K-O-J-O, at WAMU.org. I often find myself getting into information ruts, if you will. I look at the same websites, same newspapers on the internet. Same holds true for pictures I take with my iPhone or digital camera. Find myself shooting the same picture of family members at every gathering, and they all end up getting stored unused in my computer. You want to help us escape those ruts. How?
Well, I do, and I think the beginning to escape is to taste some really good things. You get good taste by tasting good things. So if you can find really interesting works, it'll inspire you, and you won't just do the same old thing. There's a phrase we use that's used a lot in that's a very highfalutin phrase called bipod bias in photography. And what that actually means is that everybody takes pictures standing up. We stand on 2 feet, we walk around, we put that's it up true. To our eye, we go ping. Your photography is going to get really good really fast the minute you like leave that little safe zone and get down on your belly or climb up in a tree and start to try to find some different points of view. That's one of the really simple things that can really enrich the experience for you.
Because it's really a different picture depending on where you are when you shoot the picture. If you do like 99.9% of us do, which is simply stand and take the picture, you get one thing. If you stoop, if you lie or do something else, it's a different picture.
It does, and you can fold in different kinds of intent. Often we just take a picture out of some kind of gag reflex to mark a moment that seems important in our life or the expectations that we are. But also, often, we get inspired by something, a sunset or a fabulous, crazy thing we serve, some ironic object in the environment that tickles our fancy. And those are important photographs. And each one requires its own kind of psychological approach to it.
This is gift-giving season, and there are a host of reasons to go do it yourself, not just saving money, but also coming up with something that is truly unique. You begin this book by discussing the cool gifts your family members give to one another. Could you tell us about a few of those?
Well, I will. I'd be glad to. I have a daughter who's 33 years old, and she makes every Christmas, she takes these great digital photographs during the year of her two kids. And she makes calendars for her, you know, the grandparents and a few other friends. But in doing this over time, she's gotten to be really good at photography. And she's also gotten to be really good at layout and type. And these calendars are real pieces of work. They take a long time, and they become something really worth saving. And I think everybody who gets them totally treasures when these things come down the pike.
Who is it in your family that creates a wiki site for family recipes?
That's my sister, Cindy. She's she's older than me. I'm 65. Now, you know, people my age, I can see you're a much younger man.
I'm in your age group, believe me.
We speak, you know, we use this media like at best a foreign language. It's a second language.
We're foreigners, yes.
We are. And my sister is just amazing because she's more like my kids. Now, my kids, I think of them as using the media as like a second language. They speak two languages. Cindy is even really good at that. And so she started a wiki. A wiki is a totally free collaborative space on the internet. And it's so easy to do. It's crazy. And and it's free. It's totally free. And it stays up there forever. So Cindy's publishing a cookbook. She's a great cook, and she's encouraged her nieces and nephews and even her brother to put in a recipe we like. And it's just all family stuff. It's really fun.
And it's my understanding that the family members send in their recipes, then they test them and perfect them.
They do, and there's a lot of back-channel discussion. Now, some things you just don't want to put on the wiki, like, there's too much butter in this, Cindy. I'm already getting roly-poly.
They also include pictures of the final dishes, which, for me, would be the kicker right there.
Well, it's the way to do it. Everything, you know, we live in a world now where pictures are so easy. Pictures in color, you know, we think of typing and writing as black and white. But it's never should be anymore. When you lay out a great-looking letter to somebody, why not use color to pull out the parts you want? And why not slide in pictures? You know, it is so crazy easy.
It's the food pictures that always get me. Once I see the picture, that's what makes me hungry, makes me want the dish, rather than just reading the recipe. A photo album or a slideshow can be extremely powerful, especially when it's done right. But it seems like sometimes we get distracted by the little details around the pictures and don't pay significant attention to the concept of storytelling.
Yeah.
Are there best practices here?
There are best practices. And we get into very bad practices when we start making slideshows that have to do with PowerPoint. And now I'm not...
A lot of our listeners probably associate the word slideshow with dreary PowerPoint presentations.
Oh, man, those things can put you asleep in 2 seconds.
They do.
Hi, I just came back from my trip to Chile. I'd just love to show you. I've got about 3 hours worth of pictures. You know, you want to die. You want to kill yourself. But it doesn't need to be like that. And slideshows, they're great to have galleries if they're well edited. But the fun thing is to start telling stories, narrative stories. You can make up stories. You can take events out of your own life. We all have these little stories in us that we've told a million times.
Yep.
The time I met my wife, or the time I, you know, some of my minor misdemeanors over the years. We have many of these things. We tell them often. They become like beautiful little pebbles rounded in the telling. The details get just sharp. We know when people drift over. And if you record one of those things, it's like radio. I don't need to tell you the power of the spoken word. If you tell one of these stories, then you can go out and just find a few simple pictures to go with it. Maybe an archival picture. Or maybe you recreate something that reminds you of that's a little scene or an object in this weird story you have. Now, those are really, really worth something.
And, of course, there are people who can take them to the logical extreme. It's my understanding, DVDs with slideshows.
Absolutely. Oh, and that's easy to do. You can do it in PowerPoint. You can do it on lots of software. Almost every photographic program you could ever get that comes with your camera has a way to make a slideshow, a way to add music and sound to it. And then publish that. Send it to people. Send it to your chums from high school.
We're talking with Kit Laybourne. He's an animator, producer, and author of Mediapedia, Creative Tools and Techniques for Camera, Computer, and Beyond. His comprehensive guide to animation, The Animation Book, is a widely taught textbook at art and film schools across the country. He joins us in the studio this hour. If you have your own do-it-yourself projects that you're involved in digitally, you can call us at 800-433-8850, or if you're looking for tips or suggestions about how to go forward with such a project, 800-433-8850, or you can shoot an email to kojo@wamu.org. As I said earlier, we're going to compile your suggestions for do-it-yourself projects and suggestions from Kit Laybourne's new book at our website, kojoshow.org. One of the first pieces of advice that you give in this book is to just sit down with your digital camera and actually try to figure out what it's capable of. And in so doing, you'll probably figure out that you have the ultimate multimedia tool.
These simple cameras that we get, even the ones on our telephones, although they really are simple, they look like point-and-click cameras. They look like these little things that we used to get for $35. They are not. They are really complicated, sophisticated little computers. And in order to get anything out of it, you have to sort of slow down a little bit. I'm not saying you necessarily have to read the book that comes with it. Nobody reads those books. But there are some little assignments you can get yourself that will lead you through how all this stuff works. And it's really worth the investment of time because your pictures get better. You start using them because they're better. And suddenly you have a tool, not just a kind of a thing that's in your pocket.
I'm going to come to some of those assignments in a second that you can find in the book Mediapedia. But if most people never use the cool functions available to them, it seems that there might be someone to blame. Most tech companies and tech gurus seem to encourage a kind of follow the directions mindset that may discourage creativity and imagination in us.
Well, I don't think I think they're neutral. But I totally agree with you that the culture of computers and the culture of guys who sell computers and make them and make software is not the culture of encouraging creativity and using this stuff in your life as lived daily for effects that you want, to reach out to people, to sell an idea, to get somebody come on board of a school project or a church project you're involved with. That's what I'm interested in, is people using this stuff like to communicate.
Well, one gets the impression that most tech companies, because they make their money when you buy something new from them or when you use their product in specific ways. For example, Apple wants you to buy music on iTunes for your iPod, and this means they don't necessarily encourage you to use their products in creative, less proprietary ways.
Well, they certainly have the commercial imperative working for them. But there's also some amazing, you know, on your computer, if you have an Apple computer, there's a thing called GarageBand, which lets anybody be really creative, really lay down a groovy track and have a whole lot of fun. And they don't promote it too much, but I'm going to promote it. It's great. And even in things like Microsoft Word, I mean, how many people do we know who have Microsoft Word? And we all use it just to, you know, like to do a memo, to type up something and to, you know, check the spelling. And Microsoft Word is an amazing graphic design program. There are ones that are better and that are a little more facile. But if you go into spend some time in that thing that's already on your computer, you're going to have some fun.
We're going to have one of the projects associated with Microsoft Word also. But first, let's go to Laura in Olney, Maryland. Laura, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I hardly ever hear people talking about this. It's really nice to hear somebody talk about this. I have been preaching to everybody around me about the use of their computers and digital graphic design for years now, since my daughter was born 12 years ago. I, too, started making calendars for the grandparents, and over the years have, you know, just got more curious and started literally cutting and pasting, and the next thing I knew, I discovered digital scrapbooking. Now, I am not a scrapbooky kind of person in any way, shape, or form, but there are amazing free tutorials all over the web that'll teach you how to use any kind of graphic program that you might have. And I'm also delighted to hear you talk about getting into another position to take your photographs. My favorite holiday photo of my family was taken by a child who happened to be on a day trip to Gettysburg with us, and I said, oh, this will be a great spot. Here, you take the photo of the rest of our family. It's the best. because it was taken from her angle and with her eye. And it just, it give kids the camera. They're great.
Indeed.
I think that's absolutely true. What a good impulse that is. I want to encourage you to, I don't know much about digital scrapbooking. I know that it's going on, and I don't know all those tools. So here's what I'd like. Please, Laura, if you go to Mediapedia.net, which is my website, like every reasonable website, it really works when people contribute stuff to it. And if you go to one of the chapters of the book that seem to be a good fit, you could share that information with me and with lots of people. It would be terrific. But here's a question for you.
I'm very excited to hear about your website. I will do that.
Mediapedia.net. And also, what's happening with your 12-year-old? What kind of stuff is she doing?
You know, she's really... I shouldn't say that. She's not a visual thinker. She's a performing artist. She's into acting and music and stuff like that. So I'm just the documenter.
You're the digital documenter.
Yes, but the thing I really have not explored at all is anything moving. I only take still pictures, and I've accidentally made movies when I didn't realize it with my digital camera. But I've never gotten into, preserving any of that part of our lives in moving pictures. My husband was supposed to be doing that, but his life got consumed with work. And so I've never really ventured into the animation or, you know, editing, film editing at all. And that's like a whole other horizon that I'll probably...
Well, I got to tell you, Kit Laybourne will probably tell you, all of these things are now converging. There's very little horizon between them.
That's very true. Follow your daughter. She'll love, if she's into theater and drama, you can do a great play with her. You can do it through stills and a slideshow, or you can just get into doing a movie. It's really fun with kids.
As we speak, I've taken the day off to finish costumes for the play that she's in right now. So.
Uh-huh. Well, stop being the wardrobe person and get your director's hat on.
And Laura, thank you very much for your call. We're going to take a short break, but you can still call us, 800-433-8850. If you have your own ideas for digital gifts or you're looking for suggestions, 800-433-8850, or send email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Nandi.
Next time on Tell Me More, while Bernard Madoff's alleged financial fraud has wiped out thousands of investors, the trauma has hit particularly hard in the Jewish community. I'm Michelle Martin. We take a look at why other minority communities can be vulnerable by trusting one of their own with their money. That's next time on Tell Me More.
That's on Tell Me More at 2 here on WAMU 88.5.
Support for WAMU 88.5 comes from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County's Department of Information Systems, offering an online master's program in information systems. Applications for the spring 2009 semester are due January 11th. More information is at onlinems.umbc.edu.
And let's check out what's happening around the WAMU radio community over on HD Channel 3. It's Day to Day. You can also hear it at WAMU.org. And it's Foster's Corner on WAMU's Bluegrass Country. Listen at bluegrasscountry.org. Tonight at 8, the Capitol Steps bring you their hour-long year in review. We'll look forward to 2009, but not before we make fun of 2008. That's Capitol Steps Politics Takes a Holiday tonight at 8. And if you can't catch the Capitol Steps tonight, we'll also be airing it tomorrow afternoon at 3 here on WAMU 88.5.
We're talking with Kit Laybourne, animator, producer, and author of Mediapedia, Creative Tools and Techniques for Camera, Computer, and Beyond, and taking your phone calls at 800-433-8850. If you have suggestions, you can also email them to us at kojoshow.org, and we will put those suggestions on our website. Email us at kojo@wamu.org, and we will put those suggestions on our website at kojoshow.org. We got an email from Lawrence in D.C. who says, a few years ago, my wife and I stumbled across some amazing photographs of her paternal grandmother back in the 1940s. They were so stylish, and she was, for lack of a better description, a smoking babe back then. We photocopied the images, blew them up, and painted over them with watercolors. We then framed the images. She was so excited. It was a fun and meaningful experience producing it, and she really loved it. Kit Laybourne, you have structured this book around assignments, little activities that can get the creative juices flowing and instill basic photography and graphic design skills. Project one, one of the simplest projects, find a willing subject, grab a camera and a couple of props, and see what your camera can do. Please explain.
Well, cameras are often creatures of habit, as we were talking about before. So one nice thing is to, the main part of this is really to get someone who will be a good stoolie for you and just actually sit there for a while and try to do all the things you can do with a camera. In the at my website, this activity is written up so you can sort of see the specifics of it, if that's helpful, if you want to try to.
And you can find a link to his website at ours at kojoshow.org.
That's right. And I encourage you to do this because you need a little field trip with your camera. You need to get friends with it. You need to go off and have a little adventure with it. And this will get it to you. For instance, one problem with digital cameras is called shutter lag. You press the shutter, but it takes a little bit of time before it goes click. Now, the shutter lag is getting less and less, but it's important to know what that can do because it'll drive you crazy. So one really fun way to do it is to see if you can get your best friend to jump up in the air and actually get them up in the air.
In midair.
Get a pic. That'll show you both what the lag on the shutter is and also how fast it is. Can you freeze that motion or does it get caught? And once you get into thinking about motion and actually looking for motion inside your shots, you're into a whole new rich area. There's some sweetness there.
You can find a PDF of that project at our website, kojoshow.org. Here's James in Rockville, Maryland. Hi, James.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
My concern is how long does it last? We play with our digital photos, and we've taken sports shots, and the speed is a concern, and the lag of the shutter is a concern, but we have photos from our family from the Civil War period and 1890s, and these are 100 years old, almost 100 years old, and how long can we keep our digital pictures, and how do we preserve them for my great-grandchildren so they'll know what I look like?
That is a really good question, and I do not know the answer. I think we're going to go through many other more digital eras. I think you're just going to have to try to keep up to date with what's there. It's important to build a repository. This is a treasure you have, especially if your pictures go back to the 1890s and Civil War. That's just really, really rich, and those will be invaluable to your kids. So you're going to have to use lots of different tricks and to digitize them and to get them into the computer, and then to make sure that you do some editing so it doesn't, you know, people don't have to invest, you know, 20 hours to be able to find the very best stuff of a few generations back.
Exactly. But the idea is, how do we preserve the stuff that we're taking now? We can have a picture in the album of great-grandmom from Nova Scotia, and we can copy that to everybody in the world, but how do we preserve the pictures we're taking now?
You mean you scan them, you copy it, and you send it to the various people, and you want to know if there's likely to be a change in platform that will make it more difficult for you to keep those pictures?
Possibly, yes. Printing them out, putting them in an album on acid-free paper, that kind of thing. Is that what you might recommend?
Oh, that's fine, but I suspect you can scan them and just store them digitally.
Well, you can. There's no guarantee what will happen with digital files down the road, but a JPEG, which is the file name for ordinary photographs, is something that you can bet on that existing and going on and on and on. It may get stored in different ways, but that once the information's digital, also it can't get ruined. There's no coffee drips on it. It doesn't turn yellow. Once it's in zeros and ones in that weird digital world, it's perfect. And every copy you send everybody is totally perfect too. So in a way, it's a great archiving medium, the digital medium. But it requires lots of work, and I think it requires more than that. It requires a lot.
And James, there are services available to which you can send those photos to get them digitized, if you can find those services online.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. We move on to Will in Northern Virginia. Will, your turn. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Interesting conversation, guys. Thanks for making me a part of it.
You're welcome.
I'm a teacher in Virginia, and a little while ago I was chaperoning an eighth grade field trip to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and I was blown away by the number of students who were sort of aimlessly wandering throughout the museums, taking no notice of all these exhibits. And I started brainstorming how we could use the technology that they already have to really engage them. And they're all listening to iPods already, so one thing I was thinking would be to create sort of like a guide that you could download onto their iPods to sort of wander them, like walk them through the exhibits, or maybe using digital cameras to create sort of a scavenger hunt to have them actively participating in the exhibits. In teaching, I see so many great uses of digital cameras and the technology that so many people have basically on their computer, and I've just been having a lot of fun with it.
It's my understanding that there are already people doing scavenger hunts in museums, but please go ahead, Kit Laybourne.
Well, there's a thing called tagging, location tagging, GPS tagging, and I think in the future we're going to go around with various devices and we're going to point them at a building or at a person, and we're going to get a lot of information popping up about them. But I want to talk to you about encourage you to do what you're doing with your kids, which is your eighth graders, is having them use these media forms to integrate with their studies, with their learning, with the way they shape the world. That's great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your call. You too can call us 800-433-8850 or send email to kojo@wamu.org. When it comes to family photos as gifts, we often think about our elders. Here, for instance, is an email we got from Melita in Bethesda. I love your show today since it exemplifies what I try to do each year. One of the things I've done for several years is to make a photo montage of the year's events for each of my three children. They get about 3 pages each with dates and a few details. Instead of a huge photo book or photos which stay on the hard drive, they get just enough to remind them of the fun things they have done during the year. The first year I gave them a ring binder and they add to that each year. My oldest daughter went to college this year and her album was one of the things she took. Small enough, but complete. When it comes to family photos as gifts, you suggest a different approach with a time capsule project, a gift to your child rather than to your parents. Can you explain how that's done?
Well, it's a theme and variation of what Melita's talking about, which is a great, sounds like a fabulous thing. And what a great honor to have your daughter pack that away when she heads off, and how much that must mean to her. I like the idea of taking your digital camera and having you or your kids just start recording the things that are in your life for a couple days. So everything, I mean, breakfast, what's on the breakfast table, all this stuff that you take completely for granted. And do that a little bit.
And you can do that with your cell phone camera.
Totally. This is low res. In this project, there is no editing. Actually, the idea is just to get a dump of stuff from your life, ephemera. Put it away and then make a CD-ROM of it. Not save this stuff. Just put it away, put it in an envelope, put your name on it or the name of a kid. Maybe it's an infant or a 5 or 6 year old that you're living with. And find it in about 10 years. I got this idea, which is an obvious one, from when the U.S. Government sent out a deep probe into space. And they made this golden DVD that some other culture, some other race is supposed to figure out. I don't know how they're going to do that. But they left the instructions for it. And it's pictures and sounds from Earth. Do this in your own life.
We're talking with Kit Laybourne. He's an animator, producer, and author of the book Mediapedia, Creative Tools and Techniques for Camera, Computer, and Beyond. You can call us at 800-433-8850 with your own tips or questions about suggestions for you. 800-433-8850 or send email to kojo@wamu.org. We're talking with Tom in Springfield, Virginia. Tom, thanks for joining the broadcast.
Hi, Kojo. I need some advice. I have a lot of slides, meaning about 7,000 of them, and I found and they're very old. I found a gadget that would allow me to copy them and digitize them, and I now have them on my hard drive. What these slides kind of comprise are the younger years of my two sons, and so what I wanted to do was to make copies of those and give them to them. I'm a real novice at this, so my first thought, I'll just copy them to a CD. And then I found out I was going to have dozens of CDs, so that didn't work. And then I someone advised me to put them on a DVD, which seemed to work, but I've labeled all these so they'll know what they are. And the DVD just runs through them and doesn't include the labels, and so that didn't work very well either. So now I'm thinking about maybe buying a thumb drive, you know, that'll be big enough to handle them all. But I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Is there a better way to do this?
How can Tom get organized, get labeled?
Tom, my first advice to you is do a little bit of editing. It would be great if there's a repository of all these pictures, because at some point your kids are going to want to see every single one of them. But to have them useful and alive in their life, I think you should cull it down. And I think a thumb drive would be a great gift. Maybe like an earlier caller did every year, you should just give them a thumb drive of parts of their lives, 10 years earlier, whatever. But it's easy to copy those things and then to give them a shape and an order. It requires editing. It requires kind of having a vision of what you want to put forward to them. And there's many, many themes in their lives. I would look into those. Try it that way.
Tom, thank you very much for your call. We move on to Alex in Washington, D.C. Alex, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Hi, Alex. It's your turn.
Okay. Thank you, Kojo. I think it's a great show. I want to ask Mr. Kids that I have two questions, actually. Okay. I want to... I'm a graphic person right now, working for making a living with it, but I'm getting tired of graphics, so I want to go into animation. I want to ask it if you could suggest any software for, professional-looking animation, and if you could briefly, tell me how to, so I'll be very happy if I get these answers.
I can answer it, but you're on a long road. Now, you've just touched in a road that I really love. And I have to honestly tell you that I wrote a book about animation many, many years ago called The Animation Book, a kind of a good title to fit the thing. But it's gone on to be a big popular book. It's still in print. There are about 100,000 copies out there. Now, I think it would be a great transition device for you. It covers a little bit of the digital world. But there, you're stepping into a pretty complex area. There's two web-based animation programs that are used all day today, all over the place. One's called After Effects, and one's called Flash. And then there's another world that's just as big of 3D design. All of those are really special areas, and you'll find lots and lots of books about them getting into it. But I encourage you to move from graphic design into animation. It's a rich transition.
Alex?
Right now I'm trying to educate myself with 3D Max.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting, somewhere with it. But do you recommend me to go farther and, just jump into it?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any other way to do it than to, grab yourself and just hurl yourself into it and see how far you get. But don't be discouraged. We often can get so discouraged. You're a professional, so you'll have more legs than the rest of us. But you can get into these things and be overwhelmed really quickly. And I want you to know you have to, push back when it gets complicated. Ask some kid who knows more. There are a lot of good sites that will help you learn about these things. The favorite one I have is a site called Lynda, L-Y-N-D-A, lynda.com, where you can sign up and take tutorials. It suits my way of learning. But all of us have a different way of learning. You may be better with tutorials or with books than I am.
Alex, thank you very much for your call. On to Dorian in Washington, D.C. Dorian, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. Hi, Kit. The fella before me asked about professional animation programs, and I'm interested in what Kit has to suggest for a free/basic. I want to make a flip book, and I'm sitting here right now with Kit's 1979 edition of the animation book, which I used back in the day in college, and I'm looking to move into something that's computer-based. So what you got to say about that, Kit?
Well, that's a very good question. There's lots of ways to go, but none of them are too easy, actually. There's no very simple program. The flipbook is, of course, a series of drawings that you do by looking through one page to the next, and it's a great way to do some animation. It's very freeform and very beautiful. Now, the flipbook is its own little registration system, because if you line up each page with the page before it, it'll... everything stays organized and lined up the way it should. So you can put those into a program. And the question is, which program? One thing you can do is put them into a slideshow program, all the different pictures that you draw, and they will animate. But it's a little more complicated to you probably need a program like After Effects would be a great one for you to look into to take this to the next level. And there are many, many animation programs these days. I'm familiar with some of them, but the truth is I need to do a little more of my own homework to answer your question. Great. It's a wonderful question. I'm sorry I don't really have a quicker answer.
Dorian, thank you very much for your call.
Thanks, Kojo.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Kit Laybourn on creativity and technology and gift giving in this season. 800-433-8850 is the number to call, or you can shoot us an email to kojo@wamu.org. I'm Kojo Namdi. Coming up at 1, carbon, nature's miraculous and often threatening building block. The surprising story behind the familiar and ever-present element that appears in everything from airplane wings to tennis rackets to our DNA. Today at 1 on the Kojo Namdi Show on WAMU 88.5.
This afternoon at 1 on WAMU's HD Channel 3, it's the BBC's World Have Your Say. This live, interactive program lets listeners participate in international conversations about current events. You can contact them for more information about getting your questions on the air at worldhaveyoursay.com. Click on Contact Us. That's World Have Your Say this afternoon at 1 on WAMU's HD Channel 3. Complete schedule information for HD Channel 3 is at wamu.org. Support for WAMU 88.5 comes from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County's Department of Information Systems, offering an online master's program in information systems. Applications for the spring 2009 semester are due January 11th. More information is at onlinems.umbc.edu.
Hi, I'm Dori Anisman, the phone manager for the Diane Rehm and Kojo Namdi shows. I want to wish all of you a glorious holiday season and a new year filled with peace, health, and happiness.
This broadcast of the Kojo Namdi Show is recorded, so we're not taking any new phone calls.
Kit Laybourn's latest book is called Mediapedia, Creative Tools and Techniques for Camera, Computer, and Beyond. Kit Laybourn is our guest. He's an animator, producer, and author. His comprehensive guide to animation, you may have heard us mention earlier, it's called The Animation Book. It's widely taught as a textbook at art and film schools across the country. It's pretty safe to say, Kit, that Microsoft Word is one of the least sexy, least creative programs on our computers, but in the hands of a person with a little imagination, it's a powerful design program. Tell us how.
Well, it's got all kinds of buttons and tricks in there. Now, professional graphics design people, and me too a little bit, kind of look down at this a little bit because it's kind of unmotivated. It's like all these weird things. But one really great idea to get familiar with your way around it is to make what I call a garish screensaver. I mean, something really ugly. I mean, something absolutely distressfully bad. And so if you just make one image, you can put that, you make it as a screensaver on your computer, and you can try all these colors and backgrounds, something called word art. You can that will take your name and put it into all kinds of amazingly really cool things. You can drag in clip art. You can find photographs. You can even do a little bit of drawing, and if you make background patterns. All this kind of stuff is all done with Microsoft Word. It's a pretty rich graphics palette, as a matter of fact.
As a matter of fact, you can find this project on our website at kojoshow.org. One of your other projects involves creating your own font. You can actually insert your own handwriting into your word processor so that Kojo Namdi's hand can join Arial and New Times Roman among the listed fonts.
I want a copy of the Kojo hand. I have to have it. There's an application called Fontifier, Fontifier. It's British. Fontifier.com will get you there. And $9, and you're going to be sending people email in your own handwriting. And you can do this whole process. Takes like about half an hour. It's really fun.
What?
Yes.
But of course, this means that people all over the world will be forging my handwriting.
It's a problem on your checks, I'll tell you that.
800-433-8850 is the number to call. We got an email from Kim who says, a few years ago, while cleaning out my mother's apartment after she had died, I found a cassette tape. She had written songs I like on it. And I took this, and she had written, that's the title of the cassette, Songs I Like on it. I took this and found sources for these songs and created a CD for my siblings and my mother's grandchildren. I found kits at the business stores that allowed me to create a professional-looking CD with pictures of my mother. The songs covered 50 years, and we grew up with many of them. I searched high and low to find these songs in a digital format. I actually used vinyl LPs and recorded them onto my computer. I'm sure I violated some copyright laws. This project was amazing. I didn't tell my siblings what I was doing. When my sister received it, she called me up in tears, telling me it was the very best gift she had ever received. And this we got from Susan in Ellicott City, Maryland. Just a quick comment. My youngest used to ask me to take pictures of her sleeping. I took some at different ages, and now at 23, she gets the biggest kick out of looking at them. For fun, you might want to add sleeping pictures to your time capsules.
Those are fabulous ideas. Kim, you're a digital goddess to do that with your mother's images. What an incredible gift to your family. I'm awed.
It's the Andy Warhol factor. Remember, he made a film called Sleep, which was just a picture of a person sleeping for 8 hours. Here is Michael in Woodbridge, Virginia. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I was a few minutes ago, you were talking about how to store your collection of photographs.
Yes.
And I recently did my own research because I'm real concerned myself about, you know, the long-term storage. And the worst thing you can store photographs on is CD-ROMs right now. They are not a permanent method. They deteriorate. I'm leaning towards flashcards, which, you know, like you put in a digital camera and some other devices. And at $1 a gigabyte nowadays, they're a real bargain.
What do you think about that?
I don't know the answer to that. It's a really good question. I think CD-ROMs will be, there'll always be ways to get the information off CD-ROMs or DVDs. But I think hard drives will change. Hard drives that are not movable, that is, you know, like, you know, a flash drive or a little thumb drive is a very good way to store stuff. I think what you need to do is aggregate your these rich media that mean so much to you into one place, and every couple of years, figure out what's the newest thing and go with the newest technology and keep upgrading, saving these things.
Michael, thank you for your call. This email we got from Laura in Laurel, Maryland. I'm pregnant now, and I've been keeping a journal in Word during the pregnancy. I include pictures, use various background colors and pictures, and use clip art. It's very colorful, and the new Word actually has many functions that make this really fun. I love it. Once the baby is born, I am planning to take the file to Kinko's and have it printed in color and bound as a book. Good idea?
It's a great idea. You can make beautiful books, and they're not very expensive, and they are really beautiful. Now, you might think, like, oh, it's an online book. It's going to look kind of crummy. The binding's bad. The cover will, you know, not look cheesy. Uh-uh. Places like Shutterfly or Apple, or there are dozens and dozens of places that deliver you really beautiful books.
On to Jim in Baltimore, Maryland. Jim, your turn.
Oh, thank you. I'm doing for my grandchildren for Christmas, I'm making them each a DVD with songs that I sang to their parents or songs that my grandfather sang to me. And I've done it with my webcam and my digital camera, and I've done it over a period of months, so there's in various places. And I've done songs, and I've done stories, and I've done little things where they can do actions with me. Two questions I have. One is there a way, I did these on DVD minus R, is there a way to edit a song that's already on a DVD, like where I misspoke a word or something like that? And second, is there a place I can go on the web to get some exciting, cute, funny introduction to the DVDs that will catch their attention because, you know, they're like 3, 4, 2 years old?
Well, I got to tell you, Jim, Kit Laybourne's book is more of a why-to book than a how-to book. So we're not really in a position to answer all of your how-to questions, although I don't know, Kit might have some thoughts on this one.
There are audio editing programs that are available free that are very, very powerful. Yes, you could take out a bad word and put in a good one. There are many books about that kind of stuff. But as for looking for an intro, I think a guy as creative as you, Jim, who's already recorded these things, you just have to dig a little deeper. What's going to really mean something is the introduction you pull out for it. So push yourself into drawing or all kinds of things that you might not feel that comfortable about.
Thank you very much for your call, Jim. Tell us about the DVD that your student made from Argentina.
She digitized all these pictures of her mother that her mother had, and made a little movie out of it as well, about a 6-minute movie, and plus this kind of big collection. And her mother just wept. Her mother wept. She found this one incredible photograph of an old color, out of color photograph. She changed the color and made it look good using Photoshop. And then in the background, there was like, it was her and her mom. And in the background, there was a fat guy in the surf. She just like took him out, cloned him out and put back in water. And then she did the final thing is she leached out all the color except for her mother and her. So there's this beautiful black and white photograph and this stunning, stunning picture. And she said her mom just broke into tears.
One of the great projects you have in this book, a series of pictures along a wall. They all feature different people wearing the same orange fluorescent hunting hat. What's that all about?
I like photography as a kind of performance art. And I'm always looking for ways to have fun with just the most ordinary, ubiquitous thing. So I have a friend, James, who lives in Texas. He's kind of a wag. And we're hunting buddies. And he always puts this dumb red hat on me. So it's been around the house. So he started putting it on everybody who came to the house. And he'd take a quick picture of them. And he'd print it out real fast on his home machine, just a little teeny snapshot on regular paper, nothing fancy here. What he did is he had this gallery where he started hanging them up on a wires in a long hallway. And so one or two of those doesn't make much, but you get 20 or 30 together or 40 or 50. Now, there's a rogues gallery that's really worth looking at.
It reminded us of a project, a quirky ongoing project of filmmaker John Waters that we read about. Every person who enters his apartment is shot with his Polaroid. Every person, even delivery men who come there to deliver stuff, they have a picture taken of them with his Polaroid.
That sounds great.
It certainly does sound like your kind of project.
It is.
Here now we go to Tony in Washington, D.C. Tony, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Hi. I was thinking using Photoshop, you can make a collage of family members. And with that collage, you can add word icons over the photos of, like, famous quotes from those family members. And, use, like, a collection of pictures that come from family events that bring back good memories.
Sounds like a good idea to me. How about you, Kit?
Yep, that's a great use of Photoshop. There's two kinds of flavors of that kind of project that you might be aware of. One is collaging, where you take different sources, words and images from all over the place, and kind of kludge them together using different levels. But another one that's fun, and you can have some fun with it, is you take a picture of yourself or a friend and you incriminate them. You put them actually in some scene that they wouldn't want to necessarily be in. And you can be very clever. And you can, if you're really, when you study this, you can set it up so that the lighting looks the same and it looks like they really match the background. And then you can kind of, I don't know, hold them up. You can blackmail them or something.
Tony, good luck to you. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
We move on to David in Washington, D.C. David, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to respond to the previous caller's question about making a flipbook animation. I did some animation in college, and I converted a bunch of the ones that I did by hand into animated GIFs, using a scanner and then scanning it into Fireworks or Adobe Image Ready, which are both Adobe products now. And you can also import them into Flash. And it's a pretty easy process. So if you have Adobe Photoshop, you probably already have Image Ready and you can do it pretty easily.
That's great, David. Thank you.
David,
thank you very much
for your call. We got an email from Amy, who said, would love to try the photo calendar idea. Could you please share suggestions on where to find calendar templates online? And what does your daughter use?
She uses Shutterfly, which is a great one. If you go to, there are a lot of resources at my book, at my website and in the book, But the website is mediapedia.net. And you'll, if you go there and look around, you'll find a list of places you can do go to just exact calendars and those kinds of things. And then great if you find a one that I don't know about that's really good or newer and they come up all the time, please add it and we'll get something going.
Here now, Scott in Alexandria, Virginia. Scott, your turn.
Yeah, I don't want to cross the line of how to, why to, but I've got a terrible how to. My wife told me the other day the only thing she wants for Christmas is for me to compile all of the family home videos, which is on every format in the book, and get it in some kind of format that we can all use, probably on DVDs. I'm flummoxed. I have no idea how to do it. Any suggestions?
Yeah, you're getting ready to make a movie.
And a lot, and it sounds like an epic movie. It could be the rest of your life you're looking at. My advice would be to placate your wife and to actually get yourself excited about what you're probably going to have to do is take just some really great moment in family history that you know there's some footage of and just work on that one piece. Trying to transfer everything into the same format now and put it all together is a big undertaking. Start with something you really love. That's the best way.
Well, that's a great idea. If I can get it to 10 minutes and make everybody happy on Christmas, maybe they'll forget about all the rest of the tapes.
3 minutes is 3 minutes will probably get you off the hook, especially if it's funny.
All right. Thanks for the idea.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you very much for your call, Scott. Alice in Bethesda, Maryland. Alice, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Kojo. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to answer the caller who was interested in exploring the world of 3D animation further. My son just completed a certificate program at a new school in D.C. called the Center for Digital Imaging Arts, CDIA. It's a subsidiary of Boston University School of Communications. They have a total immersion program in Maya, which is the state-of-the-art 3D animation program, which is vast. And they have an excellent program there, excellent teachers, and small classes. And you can take a certificate program in a course in either evening classes or full immersion within, 9 months.
Sounds like a winner to me. How about you, Kip?
Sounds great. Maya is the state of the art. There's some other ones that might be a little easier, but if you're really serious, that's a good one to go after.
Okay.
It's a little off topic, of course, because that was for the designer who's trying to move into something more in-depth for 3D animation.
But, Alice, we welcome it. Thank you very much for your call. As we pointed out earlier, on our website at kojoshow.org, you will be finding some of the projects and suggestions that you can find in Kit Laybourne's book and some of the suggestions that we got from you, our callers, by way of telephone and email. So if you missed some of the tips, go to kojoshow.org, and you'll also find links to Kit's website. Kit Laybourne is an animator, producer, and author. His latest book is called Mediapedia, Creative Tools and Techniques for Camera, Computer, and Beyond. Kit, thank you very much for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure.
And thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi. Coming up tomorrow on the Kojo Nandi Show, bridging the gulf between hunters and animal lovers, meat eaters and vegans. One-on-one with the head of the Humane Society, the nation's largest animal protection organization. Plus, what the murder of a Russian scientist during Stalin's era can tell us about food safety today. The Kojo Nandi Show, noon till 2 tomorrow on WAMU 88.5.
Support for WAMU 88.5.